Hi, James. It's Thomas. So yesterday I was traveling to get to Ukraine to join the foreigner fighting unit.
Usually when I hear from Thomas, he's sharing strategies about digital media, which is his day job.
We got on a bus, the bus that brought a lot of kids and women to Krakow station. And we joined that bus, just me and my buddy from France.
Thomas lives in Brussels, but last week, out of the blue, or so it seemed, he up sticks and left. He was already headed into Ukraine when he began sending his first dispatches. Simple but captivating voicemails.
By the time we crossed the border, the bus was almost full with Ukrainians coming back to fight from other countries. So they all made their way to the border. So the empty bus filled up with Ukrainians that are joining the inscription here.
Thomas has a lot at stake in the battle for Ukraine. He's from Lithuania, a country that joined NATO and the EU 18 years ago after shaking off Soviet domination. Vladimir Putin says he wants Baltic states like Lithuania back in the Russian orbit. And so, almost overnight, Thomas ditched his suit and tie and laptop for boots, khakis, and an assault rifle. He's now in the international brigades that are made up of foreign fighters from all over the world. Like Thomas, many of these fighters responded to Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky's call to help his country in its hour of need. Many of them have made the same journey from Poland and seen the same kinds of people stuck at the borders. And now, like Thomas, they are patrolling Ukrainian streets and looking out for any signs of Russian incursions as part of efforts to hold Europe's new front line.
No migrants more in.
No Europe without Christianity.
An alliance also with Russia.
EU Scream, in association with EU Observer, Episode 70, To the Front.
On Ukrainian-Polish border, a crowd of people waiting on the Polish side looking towards Ukraine. And at first, I couldn't understand what's happening. Many of them were Indians, Pakistanis, Bangladeshis. And when I quickly asked them what's happening, they're like, yeah, we're from non-governmental organizations, we're waiting for friends or to help out our students who used to study in Ukraine. And some of them were saying that they stayed out there in the cold and minus temperatures for 28 hours with no heating, no real equipment to cope in those temperatures. And once we crossed from Polish side into Ukrainian, we also saw crowds of Indian-looking guys. And when I mean crowds, it's literally hundreds of them behind the fence, all trying to squeeze into one door. And they, I think, being processed one by one. They burning plastic bottles to keep themselves warm. They all wrapped up in blankets, jumping, some of them laying. Just an extreme desperation in the air. And that was a shocking thing to see. So today we arrived to a center, a recruitment center, and it was interesting to see how we are being greeted by the local soldiers. Everyone is super happy to see us, asking which country we're from. We met some other countries, Norwegian. Don't want to mention all the countries, but we have 8 nationalities that I've met so far since joining the unit. We're based in a big building with lots of sleeping arrangements on the floor, boarded up windows, and everyone is very friendly. Everyone is in a good mood and just set to make a difference. It was fairly tough to leave Brussels. I do have a very nice job I enjoy here, a good circle of friends, and most importantly, a love of my life. And she's really not happy about me going. She really doesn't want to let me go. And she couldn't believe it that it wasn't for her to forbid it. It's essentially my choice and the choice that's much bigger than me. The group is getting together after spending the night and we're all shouting out our shoe sizes. So it seems we're all getting one uniform, although more or less everyone is equipped with a full-on gear as is, but it seems that we're now getting new supplies to get incorporated fully into Ukrainian army.
Один, два, три. Next.
So when I was about 6-7 years old, Lithuania announced independence. Russia in response sent in tanks. Despite the fact that it happened in the middle of the night, Lithuanian people rose up and gathered around communication centers with no guns, trying to protect them from Russian forces occupying the only free media means that we had at that time. So my mom took her two sons as a single mother, dropped them off at the grandmother's, and went off to the capital. I think it was 3 or 4 in the morning. And she stood there in front of tanks, in front of foreign soldiers, trying to protect television tower. Luckily, she survived. A week later, she came back. But others died. Others were crushed by tanks and were shot with Kalashnikovs, but did not give up. Eventually, communication towers were occupied, but people never stopped resisting. And that's why Lithuania exists on the map today. It's quite interesting to see a city preparing for war. I can say which city I'm in, but wow, what a sight. Everyone is working on something. Electricians are supplying electricity to new military protections, to soldiers, for them to charge the phones, heavy equipment, digging, building massive bunkers, teenagers and elderly filling sandbags and protecting windows of different buildings. It's a non-stop, full-on construction work just in preparation for the invasion. Canteen times are quite interesting here. Everyone gathers together from different units. We come for breakfast, lunch, and most of the times for dinner if there are no air raids. And every time you're being served with by different people, different Ukrainian women who used to be teachers, worked in kindergartens, and now after packing the sandbags to protect the windows of this canteen, they're serving us food. That's nice. But also, it's amazing when you sit down with these Ukrainian soldiers to hear their stories. So just now I had a lunch with a teacher. He was a teacher in a fifth year school, not too far from here. Now he's sitting next to me with a rifle, training, and being quite optimistic about the future of Ukraine. Also in the queue, you see different people. You see real hardcore pros with big guns. Then you see tiny girls that just joined a week ago, probably, training and just sharing their stories and believing in the same outcome for Ukraine. Another night, another bunker, another air raids.
Вийди, кохана, я працею змолена, хоч на хвилиночку гай. Ти не лякайся, що ніженький босі, мочиш холодну росу. Я ж тебе вірила, я аж охапила.
It's interesting how quickly you get used to air raids, hiding in a bunker, getting up in the middle of the night, jumping in your shoes and running down into the basement once or twice or three times a night. It doesn't help with sleeping patterns, but overall, the atmosphere is quite good. I guess it's because we haven't had any bombings close by just yet, so it doesn't feel that dangerous. But obviously, we still have to take it as seriously as ever. We are in preparation for the imminent attack. Everyone is getting into their positions. So attack didn't happen. We are back to our barracks and all back to normal. It's an interesting feeling right now. We are sitting in a room discussing what do we need as a unit, what are we missing not provided by the Ukrainian army, and our newly found friend from Latvia is literally sending a WhatsApp message to Latvia ordering things we need. So knee protectors, belts, magazine holders on the vest. And apparently it's all going to be more or less taken care of and brought to us in a day or two by volunteers. So bought and brought to us by volunteers. So these contributions, these supporters from all over Europe are very, very important, and they're really supporting our mission here on the front lines. So it's almost 5 o'clock in the morning, and I just got back from a night patrol. It's quite interesting to walk around town at nighttime when everything is quiet, no cars due to movement restrictions at nighttime. It's almost like a sightseeing tour, just this time with a Kalashnikov in my hand, trying to protect it with the locals and a Georgian fighter. We had a good chat, so many hours trying to warm up in these minus temperatures in front of a fire on some stops. And I found it fascinating that we were from four different countries speaking amongst ourselves in Russian, for which we can thank to Russia for. But at the same time, the stories we were sharing was about Russia's occupation of our countries in the past, and how it's about to happen here, and how happy they are to be able to stand up against it and try to make a difference. I don't have any military experience. I did not serve in the army, but I did participate in a few youth programs with the Independent Lithuanian Army in my teenage years. I also spent a good 10 years in the scouts, so I know how to survive in the wilderness. I know how to handle a gun. But that's not the main reason why I joined. I could have helped otherwise, but I just feel that Ukrainians need someone standing shoulder to shoulder to them. All the support that we're doing is great, but they need more. Especially right now, they definitely need more. So training all morning today, after 2 hours of sleep, 3 hours of physio with exercises, crawling, carrying people, running. A good way to wake up. Also, you might hear there's a lot of truck noises around. It's still all digging trenches, digging in. Since the day we arrived, it has never stopped. It continues. They keep expanding, keep building in every location we are in. There are trenches coming up, being dagged with a massive JCB diggers. Yeah, it's a shame that due to military secrecies and restrictions, I can't tell you where I am, and I cannot tell you how many of us are here. I cannot take pictures of these amazing constructions where a city turns into a defensive fighting unit. As sad as it is, it's also something to admire in innovation of people.
My name is Sonam, like Sonam, you can't feel it.
So Sonam is going to be our medic for our unit, patching the wounds that we hopefully not going to have too many of.
So I've always wanted to use my nursing skills to serve in difficult areas, war-torn areas, and I had an opportunity to come here to Ukraine. So I'm here and helping the cause.
So last night was the first night when I managed to sleep 6 hours. Only one raid. So feeling very good and positive about today. So while having a tea this morning, I thought to say a big, big thank you to all people donating to Ukraine, Ukrainian army, and any organizations helping out refugees. For example, last night, one of my teammates went on a first patrol where we used thermal imaging. So when you're patrolling the city and looking for small active combatant units that are hiding, who are trying to create diversions or explosions or attack individual patrols, scanning the environment with a thermal unit really changes the game. And we started doing it last night because someone donated us a thermal camera. In fact, thermal camera was part of the bigger package that was sent directly to our unit. And everyone now is expecting to be kitted out by tonight with thermal and night imaging. That is a game changer for us. That's going to save lives. And we're quite excited that this morning we're expecting a delivery of drones. Again, some volunteers bought 2 drones for us, drove through the night through Poland. And we just received a call saying that they're on the border and we should expect them in a few hours. So once again, thank you everyone donating, whether it's food, medicine, or equipment. It's definitely felt here.
That's it for this episode. EU Scream's nonprofit journalism is supported by listener donations, partnerships, and by advertising. And we're grateful to the Laura Kinsella Foundation for an annual grant. For more details and for more EU Scream, visit euscream.com or click on podcast at euobserver.com. I'm James Cantor. Thanks for listening.